Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello everyone, welcome back to Part 2 of Private Parts. Still here with James Bay. Mate, listen, your new album, Leap, insane.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You know, process of writing these things and coming up with new stuff, and first two albums, super successful, you know, in America as well.
Yeah.
And then you go into the third one, and lots of things with this quick. Firstly, it's about, you're vulnerable in this, and you speak about a lot of things that have happened to, you know, you speak about Lucy and all sorts of stuff. Why did you suddenly feel like you could turn to that place?
A few different reasons. One, probably the most obvious, is that I hadn't before. But then that almost seems a bit like dumb in a way, because it's like, well, if I hadn't before and it felt like it gave me such a good sort of writing experience and songs, then why didn't I go before? I think for some reason I was scared.
Why are you scared of that?
Well, I found ways. That's a whole deep thing, long-winded thing, but I'll give you my best. But like, I think in so many ways, to write songs that say thank you, that say I love you, that say I need you, it's something that's not sort of particularly, it's not often done, and it I suppose, to put it kind of as simply as I can, it requires a level of vulnerability that it's a little scary to sort of show a more fragile side of myself. Maybe it's a little scary to do that. I think we walk out into the world every day and we sort of push our chests out and we put, you know, hold our heads up. And we try and be as kind of, not tough necessarily, but strong as we can to sort of face whatever comes at us as we go out and strive to achieve whatever we want to achieve in work and life. And the other reason that ties into that for why I've written from this place really for the first time is because Lucy and I have shared this sort of journey and our own journey for such a long time. And she's been absolutely the most vital part of all of it for me. For all of the songwriting and the me getting up on stage in front of all the people and that being what it is on the surface, I'm stronger because of her, because she exists, because she's still with me and I'm still with her and we're still in this together. And I think for the longest time, I hadn't shed much light on that. And it got to a point where it felt like, hang on, that's actually, if I keep doing that, then I'm almost operating as though she doesn't exist. She very much exists. It's time sort of moment for me in my writing.
Is that like a self-awareness moment? You suddenly went, oh fuck. Like this person's always been here. And
because I do it privately at home. Yeah. I very much recognize, and we have very in-depth sort of conversations and we make all our plans, my plans, whatever. So much of my work experience, which is a strange way to sort of talk about my job because it doesn't often feel like a normal job. But we go through it together. She's a huge, in her own way, she's a big creative force in within my creative process. And I love that. And I cherish it. And so often sort of feel like I require it. There's a very blurry line between how much is kind of just me and how much is a process that I've been through with her to come to the sort of end product of what I've made, whatever it may be, a song, a show, a video, a whole album, whatever. And that's just because we're so tight and we have been for so long. So it was just time to, I don't want to make it seem like it's too big a thing in a way, because I think I will always kind of reference or echo her and what she means to me in what I do in one way or another. Mm. And I know I have in ways before, but it just, there was something about facing the kind of fear of just being so vulnerable that felt kind of nourishing. To face a fear is often, it often gives you something, if not quite a lot.
Yeah.
And that all of that ties into the reason why the album is called Leap. I remember I was reading a book. There was a quote. The quote was, "Leap and the net will appear." A guy called John Burroughs said, "Leap and the net will appear." That was his sort of advice. That was his idea, and it was very moving when I read that, and inspiring.
Because it is a leap, right?
Like, it's a leap to go to this place of vulnerability.
Yeah,
you know, and will I stay here? I don't know. How's it been for me? I've only just in the last 6 months started playing these songs live to people, and now people have the album and they can spend their time with them. And it's scary in its own way, but there's something attractive to us all sometimes about, you know, jumping from the highest diving board when you go to the pool with your mates, or like going on the fastest roller coaster, or sort of swallowing all your pride and asking that
girl
out.
But isn't that creativity? It's the only way to grow, really.
Yeah, seems
like it's to face your fears, because otherwise you just kind of stay in a safe space. So you have to actually go, right, let's have it.
Just for what it's worth, that's an opportunity for me to just say my second album was a big departure from what my first album was doing in sonic, in sound, in look. I cut my hair, I stopped wearing a hat. My hat has always been such a sort of signature part of my look, and it's sort of tied into my sound for my fans and all the people that love my music, and that's all very, very important to me. And with all respect to everybody who loved that music and who loves it still, and I do too, but like it became too much all just the same thing for me to sort of keep doing and being that version of myself. It's very much who I am, but there's more to me, there's more to us always than sort of one thing, than the one thing on the surface or whatever. So the scariest but most exciting thing was, well, what if I change it all? Because I love all the guys, all the artists that inspired who I was on my first album, but I love all these other artists too. I worked in a record shop. There was a lot of different artists to dig into. You know, I love Springsteen, but I love Bowie and Blondie. Mm. I love Joni Mitchell. I love Lord.
Green Day. There we go.
There you go. Good, great songs.
Great songs.
You know, and I couldn't help myself. I had to sort of, it was a bit of a leap, obviously, in itself on my second record to sort of dare myself to do something else. Creatively, artistically, it felt like the most rewarding way to move forward. So I did it. There's a lot of people out there who love music and listen to artists and they don't necessarily follow the same thought process. So when something changes, they don't follow. Mm. Okay, fine. It's all something I have to be willing to sort of understand.
But that's amazing that you can follow that though. Yourself,
yeah,
right?
It's all about following the artist's journey, really, isn't it?
Yeah, but also as the artist, right? As the artist, you want to, if you're sitting down and you're going through a writing process, you're like, right, I'm writing my third album and this is the way I'm feeling at the moment. To not follow that is like a negative thing. You've got to follow. And if that feels a bit strange and different, it's like, well, fuck, what do you want me to write about?
The true artistry comes from is when you're giving your true expression of like the state you're in, right? If you're trying to like do something that's not you and emulate something else, then it's not.
So if I'd have repeated what my first album was, it would have felt like a bit fake.
Yeah, it's not authentic.
Okay. It would have been like, okay, so you love that. Talking to the people or the fans or whatever. Okay, so you love that. Wow. That's an honor. Like, that's so cool that you love that. And I'm so grateful. And now I have to strike a balance or weigh up whether I'm just going to do the next bit for you or whether I'm going to do any of it for me. Because I did the first bit just for me because none of my fans existed. I made my first album for me. There weren't any fans.
Yeah, none.
That's quite interesting. I've never thought about it
so,
like that.
So then if you're very lucky, you get a bunch of fans on the first release and then you got to sort of decide. And it's a tough thing to decide. It's a very difficult balance to strike. I've talked to all sorts of artists about, you know, going into their second records, and it's the same,
that's complicated.
I suppose, dilemma. I don't know if that's the right word to use because it's not necessarily a negative thing. It shouldn't be seen as that. It should still be celebrated if you get to make a second record. That's incredible. And we all are running down that track looking straight ahead, and then we look to our right and we see that Adele has had a massive second album. Mm. And we go, okay, what's she done? It's so easy to go off into that headspace.
Yeah.
It's so easy to go off into that headspace. And even though she's a great example of a great successful second record, And there are other great examples I could reference. She's just a sort of recent one. It's still not the smartest thing to just try and sort of dive into what's been done there. You because really, for your soul, you have to do.
Yeah.
Mate, you have to. Thing. You have to. Without a doubt, you have to follow that. And creativity, right, is where you don't really know what you're creating, whether it's good. If you're replicating what you've done before because you know it's success, then you're not following your naivety. Yeah. And if you're not following your naivety, then you're in a place where everyone else is. So therefore, you have to go against the grain on that.
There's a thing, let me read this thing. What did it say? I like this. Lucy found this. Wait a minute.
It's probably from your book, Jeff.
Just some great, I think it's from Jamie's book. Yeah. Yeah. What is it? I think it's page one, line one.
Is it from the
one.
Paperback, which is out today?
I think it's
which has gone straight to bargain bins all around the UK.
Straight to Hitchin.
She found this thing. It said, it doesn't help you to know how you got here. Just keep going one step after the next. It doesn't help you to know how you got here. It's really interesting.
Mate.
That's interesting.
Let's play on that for a second, just really quick, because it's so, okay. If you're selling freaking tables, right? If you're selling tables, or you want to sell tables, and you hire someone who's been in the industry for so long, who knows how to sell tables, they're going to sell tables exactly the way they've always been sold. So therefore, there's going to be no creativity there. Mm. You don't really want to know.
Do you need a table?
No.
Yes.
Yeah, but you don't want. Table. But my point is this: if we can get it, maybe I'm explaining bad. You don't want to find out how you got there. Because if you do, you're then going to go, oh, I need to copy that because that's what people like. You kind of just want to go, oh, fuck, here we go. Let's just
doing
see
something,
what
doing something, copying something. It's a fine line. There's a fine line in this, but like to straight copy something is never going to sort of come off as inspiring to anyone else.
No.
As if you at least put your own sort of twist on it. And that your own twist bit is the most important part. Anyway, so, you know, with Leap, it was about, I just didn't feel, I felt like my lyrics, I've always, you know, the lyrics in the songs that I've released have always been words that I've meant. They've been honest, rooted in experiences I've had, if not telling the stories of experiences I've had. But there was a boundary to push there as far as vulnerability goes. Mm. That was the big leap for me in the making of this album.
Are you most vulnerable because you are talking about your relationship?
It's always been something that's been quite private. You know, it's been our choice for it to be a more of a private thing that I'm not very sort of public about.
Yeah.
But like I say, it came to a point where I think now and again, there might've been an assumption. I didn't ever try and look too sort of closely into this, but there might've been this assumption that I was single and that's all right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But not the truth. And that's also not, that doesn't feel fair in any way on Lucy, who, again, like we wanted to keep our private life private, but we didn't want it. I didn't want people thinking so far in the other direction.
Mm. Yeah.
Because then we're operating like Lucy doesn't even exist. And she's such an important part of my life. So,
there's going to be a moment when you're performing this new album.
She walks out on stage singing.
Yeah. You're going to have tears for sure.
I mean.
There we go. Come on, there we go.
Also,
especially with your new baby girl. And
well, this
that.
Is it. We had a baby 9 months ago, Ada. And
is it Ada Violet or
Ada? Violet's her middle name.
Violet's
yeah,
middle.
Yeah. But we were very excited when she was born. So when I posted about it, we gave you the whole name, Ada Violet Bay. We also I think you know we didn't want that to be a secret either, because it's something we're so proud of and. I don't know. I want to sort of talk about it because Ada exists.
Mate, it's amazing. I mean? But also, can I just say from a guy, right? You speak about we hold our chest up high and all these kind of things. And that's what we do, especially in our 20s. We get to our 30s and we kind of hit this weird spot, right?
Yes.
Where we suddenly go, fuck, everything that we thought existed doesn't really exist. Everyone's guessing. We suddenly realize that it's all like, oh, it's not as all, it's cracked up to me and life is hard and all these different things. Your vulnerability is epic because especially as a dude, you write about things. One of the things I love, you talk about a breakup, but it's with one of your best mates.
Yeah, I do. I wrote, there's a couple of songs. That's a hard one to talk about.
Can you explain that?
Well, there's a couple of songs in this album. It's a long sort of historic relationship, that friendship that I'm referring to. And
that's him starting to cry.
There you go.
Yeah, we've got him.
There's just too much milk in my tea. That's what it really was. You know,
we've got
it's classic.
Him.
Lactose.
damn lactose. And I just, it kind of went sour. And it's not the lactose.
Sorry, I was thinking about the milk.
Are you laughing at that? And laughing at that point. Can you say what happened or no?
No. Sorry.
Right, there we go. Yeah.
But I can say that it felt like too special a history that we had together to just accept that it was all done for. So this experience has found its way into some songs, and in those songs, I'm trying to celebrate our history. And there's a song, like the first record song on the record, the first song on the record, "Give Me the Reason," really says there's so much that we have, like historically, and we have such a sort of rich past. So give me like one reason to keep fighting for our friendship, and I will keep fighting. It can't all just sort of end like this. I don't know. I don't break up well, I guess.
No, mate. And I think what's interesting with you, you've never had a breakup,
right?
Or things like that. So. And what's insane is that typically what we talk about with, because relationships don't have to be, they don't have to be like sexual or whatever. Relationships are like,
oh man, yeah,
like
absolutely.
Friendships are much deeper a lot of the time. And that's even, that's even more of a heartbreak.
For me, it's all, whether romantic or not, like all relationships are sort of are sacred in their way. Or certainly, we all have specific ones that are sacred, and it's my point is it's never just one. Maybe it's five, maybe it's 10. It's not necessarily all of them either, but there's always a select few that are so important. I've watched friends go through various kinds of breakups from really sort of sacred relationships. And I've obviously experienced a few myself with friendships and stuff. So, also, you know, to be very real, I don't know if it's a secret, but one of the details within holding down a really long-term relationship is to be sort of super straight and honest with each other. And that can lead to all sorts. Mm. And the fact that Lucy and I are so strong and together is a testament to being able to talk about everything and anything. And all these different experiences find ways into songs for me.
Relationships are hard.
Yeah, man. But they're incredible.
Yes.
I am just this person who, I don't know. I'm fragile in the same way that everybody is, and one of my sort of therapies is to sort of write about it. The songs I write don't always sort of see the light of day, but some of them obviously do. And I suppose it's important sometimes to share. It's hard. It's scary to sort of share sometimes, especially in more and more sort of public ways. But the way that it brings me and other people together. The way that it brings people together is important.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The greatest thing I think about music, right, is that you can be anyone. You can be a builder, you can be a swimmer, you can be an artist. It doesn't matter, right? Because you have your headphones in, and you're listening to it.
And you can lose yourself.
You can lose yourself in it. No one freaking knows what you're listening to.
Yeah.
So I could be listening to James Bay. I could be listening to Spice Girls if I want to, whatever it is. And you connect on such a level with these individuals.
Yeah.
So what you're writing about then hits them right here. And everyone has, some of your songs, I can place where I was when I freaking heard it, you know?
That is a beautiful thing about music. It really is. I think it's the reason why I've gone as far as to sort of be someone who makes music, who wanted to, who wants to write songs, who wants to process and express my emotions in lyrics and to music, because I've always got so much from it that I wanted to try it out myself, I suppose.
Okay, you're telling stories that loads of people have also experienced, and they'll probably be listening to the lyrics and they'll hear nuance of it and they'll kind of get it, and they'll like you put your own story onto it.
And
I think that's where the real connection
that's an amazing sort of detail and bit of sort of magic that like I experienced listening to music, and amazingly other people experience listening to my music. I've just done with the release of Leap, I went around the UK to record stores. Some of the record stores like booked a venue. So some record stores I played like an in-store show. Mm. And some of them were called an out-store show because the record store was a bit so small little. And they would uh-huh. and they would book a venue for a couple hundred people to come into and we'd play a show. But what I was doing every time is I was meeting fans after the show. So I'd play for sort of 45 minutes and sort of show some new songs from the album and talk about them. And then it was like a line of 200 people that I was sort of meeting, saying hi. I was like signing an album, doing a photo, all this stuff. The things that they had to say as fans of my music, and maybe not just because I've had, you know, all artists have had 2 years of pandemic away from that closest connection with their fans, mm-hmm. that in the flesh connection, not just because of that, but really just it just came with releasing more music for the first time in a while. I was absolutely sort of bowled over. It was pretty breathtaking that the what this music seems to mean, or even some of these songs seems to mean to fans, the fans that I met in the last week, in the last 10 days or something that I've been doing it. And it was everybody. It was, you know, people in their 60s, 70s. It was people in their, there was like 10-year-old kids. There was lots of people in there like teenagers, obviously couples
in
their
20s.
It's your style,
though. It's the style of your music, right?
It was touching on all these different people. Yeah. There's people with tattoos of the lyrics in the first, the second album. There's people who are asking me to scribble lyrics so that they could get them tattooed from this new album, which is unbelievable. Every single time someone asks me that, I say, are you sure?
Are you sure you want this?
Are you sure you want this sort of thing? People have got tattoos of like me.
That's
like
insane.
Pictures of myself. I'm like, that must have messed them up when I cut my hair.
But I think this as well, like, okay, if we look at social media, right? If we look at Ricky Gervais, of all people, actually, which is actually quite true. You know, Martin Luther King, Nelson, you know, I don't know, JFK, whoever it is, all these amazing speakers, right? These people who freaking, you know, held a room and held the world or whatever it is. You know, because of social media, everyone has a voice. And right. and when someone overspeaks too much now, we go, oh, shut up. So actually, because they do, right? Because we're like, oh, God, there's so many people talking.
Easy,
where you get lost. With music, the voice, people don't go, shut up. They actually want to hear more, right?
Yeah.
Which I think is a really great place. That's why words and lyrics and songs and parts.
It's amazing what a sort of... I don't know if neat is quite the right word, but just it's such
you
a
can
like...
Use it.
It's such a like... It's such a special, it's never, a song is never necessarily sort of as imposing as a grandiose speech. Nothing against a grandiose speech from anybody, but you can put a song on repeat and all that different stuff, and it can affect you in different ways at different times in your life, in your day. It's a really unique piece of art, a song. It's a magical thing. And it obviously, long may new songs be written and stuff get released, but also the magic is unknowable. Like, we can't know how to sort of write. This is why everybody doesn't write songs. You know, you can't.
You can't get it.
There's no secret. Mm. And that's what keeps it sort of so special, I suppose. Maybe, I shouldn't say this necessarily, but maybe it's easier to sort of teach people how to sort of write a great speech. Or, I don't know, it's just not, it's never quite as moving, it seems.
No,
for
it's
me,
not.
At least. And I'm a music fan, so I'm going to say that. Mm. But like.
What is, out of you know, winning the, you know, Brits Awards and Grammy nominations and albums and all this kind of stuff. When your daughter gets born, is there nothing quite like
There's nothing quite like it in the world.
Is it insane?
It's all the cliches.
Is it really?
Either of you guys got kids?
No, I don't have it.
It's all the cliches. All the cliches you heard in the movies and everything about it being so incredible and overwhelming and terrifying and euphoric. It's all of them.
You don't know what you're doing as well.
You know,
I'm
not a clue.
No clue.
You know, everybody sort of says, I think there's that, you know, everybody has a baby and says, you know, that my baby's the most beautiful baby in the world, and my baby is the most beautiful baby in the world. That cliche is so true.
Yeah.
You know, everybody says it and means it in the same way, and I mean it in the same way. So, yeah, it's totally breathtaking, and it puts things into perspective. That's been an interesting experience.
How hard is it to juggle?
Very.
Yeah.
Lucy's doing a unbelievable job being a mum. And
Shout out to you, Lucy. She's
lead parent, and because I'm flying off to do this thing and that thing, which is heartbreaking in its own way. And I was never very good at leaving Lucy when I was going on tour. And I got we built up a sort of a strength. She would obviously she was able to come away and stuff quite often, but we built up a sort of strength that we sort of developed when having to sort of part. And got better at it, and now a little baby just sort of gives you that look and doesn't know that you're going, and it's easy to just want to sort of bawl.
Fuck.
But it's all necessary stuff, and hopefully I'll take Ada on tour. We'll all be on tour as a family sort of sometime soon. I don't know when yet, but
do you believe in soulmates, or do you think it's like timing and things like that?
It's a difficult question to answer, you know. Do I believe in soulmates?
Because just hearing you talk about Lucy, right, and your album Leap and all that kind of stuff, and being able to like speak so openly about it, it's like, dude, it's a powerful shit. And, you know, you always reference back to. I see interviews as well. You reference back to her all the time, and the fact that you find it hard to leave her, and also if we're being totally straight, right, and you know, I remember when I first got any tiny bit of no trust, and that's not even worrying. Dude, I was out and about.
Sure,
you know.
Sure.
Dating as many people as things then. You just never had that.
Lucy,
you just...
No, we didn't. We have had something incredibly sort of special and tight knit since way before anybody knew who I was.
Mm.
And I think going into the notoriety or whatever, sudden versions of fame or whatever, was wonderful and exciting and terrifying. And it was I felt like a rabbit in the headlights a lot.
Mm.
And even though a lot of the time I had a big smile on my face and I was very excited and grateful to be wherever I was, whether it was a sort of a red carpet or whatever, when I got home to Lucy, who often wasn't with me at those things, sometimes she was, but getting home or getting back into the car with her after those things, it was a big sort of exhale, because really? You're back with this sort of person who that's such...
Be you.
Yeah, exactly that. So, I mean, soulmates, I don't want to...
Maybe it's a bit cheesy. I don't know.
I don't know. It's just, it feels even bigger than that. It feels even stronger and more sort of powerful than that. And it's hard to sort of name it or sort of describe it. But I think you share something with someone for so long. And it's like, I don't know. It's you know, saying things like soulmates, kindred spirits, all that stuff is potent. But like, it's just sort of very sort of special. And in another way, it exists and sort of functions kind of day by day. It's not, it's easy to look back, but like, the sort of power of what we have is brand new every single day.
Mm.
I don't know.
It's
almost like soulmate kind of lessens it. It's like more special.
Somehow, like, and Jamie, I know you're absolutely not trying to sort of lessen it, but somehow that's true. It's hard to put into words.
Yeah, it is. Maybe, but it's so funny. I recently just got engaged to.
Oh, congrats,
to so, yeah, and I it's not. I swear to God, I'm not just saying this because whatever on podcast and shit. Like, I wake up every day and I'm like, fuck, sick. She's there.
Yeah, man.
Like, I have that, and I truly never thought I would have that because I had relationships and stuff like that, and I just never had that quite connection. And then I met someone who was a mate of mine for many years or a few years. And it just suddenly clicked one day, and I was like, oh my God, actually this. And
that's beautiful, man.
Yeah, and so that's why I'm just curious what your thoughts
are.
No,
absolutely.
Because I honestly feel that when I never thought that would be the case ever. And you had it from such a young age.
Yeah.
I love the fact that you just say every day it's like a brand new thing.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah. It's just how it feels. I have various mates asking me how to sort of hold down a long-term relationship. And I'm like, I don't necessarily know. I think, strangely, that's like a kid coming up and saying, hey, how do I have a career like yours? And I don't know, but like, in both things, be honest. In all things, probably just sort of be as honest as you can, and like with yourself, be honest with yourself, because walking around telling everybody what you really think isn't always the sort of smartest way to go about life. But just being honest with yourself,
it's the greatest piece of advice, I think. Actually, that's made, dude, that is insane.
I still struggle at it. I'm not, you know, it's not easy either. It's
because we don't want to be weak in lots of places.
We don't want to come across
that way.
Especially
to ourselves.
It's so difficult. But it can absolutely sort of have its rewards, even its sort of subtle ones that will benefit you in the long term, I think, you know.
Yeah.
It's be It's tough though. It's very easy to sort of sit here like I'm some example. I'm not necessarily. It's just my experience. I'm learning one thing more than anything else and more often than anything else. It's like, you know, being honest with yourself is the way.
I fucking love that. It's so true. Dude, listen, you're back on tour in November.
Yeah, we're going. So it's exciting that we're going to Brixton Academy in London. I haven't been to that venue for a few years now. Well, the last time I was in Brixton Academy,
yeah,
Ronnie Wood joined me on stage from Rolling Stones.
Get out of here. My God.
Ronnie, I'll give him a shout. Do you fancy doing it again?
Did he know he was coming or did he just get on stage?
No, that one I did. I met him a few weeks before. Yeah. We were at like an awards thing that I was playing at. And I said, we were talking away. And it was a bit of a one thing leads to another through sort of conversation because he was like, are you playing? Are you touring? What are you doing? And I was like, wow, Ronnie Wood's asking me what I'm up to. And I told him where we were playing in London. He said, I love that venue. And then he went off to say, like, this is like name drop heaven in a way. But like, he went off to say, he's like, I've just got to go and say hello to Peter Blake, who is an extremely famous painter, of course. But so he went off to say hello to him. And Sally, his wife, said, Take Ronnie's number. He would be. I'd said something like, "Yeah, we're playing in Brixton. Come and join us." And he said, "Like on stage." Hmm. And I kind of like sort of felt a bit sick.
I saw this on social media,
but I went like, "Yeah, join, sure." Ronnie Wood. He walked off. Very, very good bloke. And Sally said, "Take his number. He would be up for it." And I thought, "All right, Sally, if that's what you say."
Thanks, Sally.
So I sort of got in touch with him, and and yeah, we rehearsed up one of his songs. He was in a great band called The Faces before the Rolling Stones, who I absolutely adore, The Faces. I did not have the courage to sort of invite Ronnie Wood to play a Rolling Stones song for some reason.
Why not?
I don't know. I don't even know, but it felt like two on the nose or something. Mm. I don't really know why, because of course he was in The Faces as well. I was a fan of The Faces.
Or he went, you like The Faces? And you're like, yeah.
Well, I thought he might think I was like, quite sort of like, this kid knows his shit. Yeah. If I said, hey, let's do The Faces.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I worked in a record store.
Yeah, man. I don't know if you know. Sorry, I've literally never met you. Mate. But he came, yeah, we did a Faces song at Brixton Academy. It was a lot of fun. And we were like in the dressing room. I remember in the dressing room before, and he said, can I smoke in here? And I thought, I'm not going to tell you no. I've no idea. No, probably
sorry,
not.
Sorry, Ronnie, can't.
It's probably very illegal, but I'm not going to tell you no. Let me open the window. So we did that. So I'm playing at Brixton. I'm touring in November around the UK, around Europe as well, for a couple of weeks there, a couple of weeks around the UK. We're doing all sorts of fun rooms, and Brixton's going to be a highlight, but we just had a pandemic. Every single night is going to be a massive highlight.
It's going to rock it, dude.
It's going to be great. Come along.
Please. Oh, mate, I would love to.
Please.
That would be a real treat.
Please do, man.
We'll come on stage. We'll do a Ronnie.
Come on, let's do it. We could do a Rolling Stones song. It'll be okay because none of us were in that band, yeah. Were we?
I don't think not you want way. Us coming on stage. Right. I'm going to clamber on stage.
Imagine the confusion.
He told me.
You could do MC energy. You could come out before us and just announce.
Yeah, he told me I could do it. Mate, James, thank you. Dude, I've been such a fan of yours.
Thanks, man.
I was at the Brits years ago when you played and you did that thing on stage with Justin Bieber and stuff like that. Yeah. That was, and I've been a fan of yours ever since. And when we knew you were coming on the podcast, I was super psyched. Oh. And also what happens is, just to be, I suppose, a bit vulnerable myself, when you meet people, musicians, whatever, and they come on the podcast and they're just real dudes, it's a real treat. So I really appreciate it, man. Good luck with the new album, Lee. Go and get it wherever you can. Follow James on Instagram, all social media. Go and get his tickets to his tour coming in November. It's going to be epic. James, what we do at the end of the podcast is leave our listeners with something inspirational.
I feel like I've
there's been so much. There's been so much inspiration. I don't know if there'll be more in the tank.
You know, I find all the most inspirational stuff that sort of means the most is, again, the cheesiest stuff.
Yeah, of course.
But there was, I met a young, she was about 14, artist. I was doing these meet and greets and she was there with her guitar and her CD. And she said, you know, I'm trying to do this like you're doing it. And, you know, can you give me advice? And she had her dad with her. And I said this to her. And her dad looked a bit like, oh, really? Because I said, you have to believe in yourself or else nobody else will believe in you. And she's sort of listening and her dad's going, come on, do better than that. And I said, I promise you, every single day of my experience, if I don't walk into a room with a guitar in my hand, believing that I can like win this entire room over, from open mic nights in pubs when I was 19 to the Brits, to whatever I did after that, then I know in the moment that nobody's buying it. So you have to absolutely, if you want to do something, you have to know that you're the best at it. At least in that moment, you have to say, I am the best at this and I'm going to blow you away. And if you don't, then nobody's going to buy it. So make sure you do that before anything else.
I freaking love that. James, thank you so much. Everybody, we'll see you next week. Goodbye!
Oh, mate. That was...
You right?
Yeah.
So that was just me just jamming.
Yeah, jamming out, boy.
You Do you know what my band was called?
What?
HKL squared.
HKL squared. Something to do with your school.
No, Hannington Knight, Lakin and Lang. That was the squared.
Is that all of the names of the band members? Nice.
There you go.
Why didn't you make it?
I just went in a different direction, to be honest.
Which was?
Onwards and upwards.
You went for the cheap fame. You went for instant success. Instant fame, reality TV.
There we go. That is exactly it.
Oh, it would have been good if you were in a boy band. Was it?
Dale Knight is now a diamond dealer.
Yeah. This is typical Radley.
Oh,
right, come on, give us the lineup.
No. Hannington, I haven't heard from him. Yeah. So I don't know. I just
You've
know Dale.
Just shied away from that.
Dale's a diamond dealer.
What else? Come on, I want the full lineup.
Come on. Come on, Big Cat. Wow. You just enjoy your time. Hey, listen, thank you so much for James coming on the podcast. Go and get his tickets to his tour starting in November. Go and listen to his new album, Leap. He's a complete legend.
Are we going to go to Brixton Academy?
100%.
Yeah.
Can't freaking wait.
Make sure we do.
I'm going to.
Put it in our diaries.
All right. Hey, everybody, listen, enjoy it. We'll be next week for our bonus episode. Until then, have a fab week. Goodbye.
Ciao for now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.